When we last left the Apostle Paul, he was saying in Romans the 9th chapter that God is God and that he can do anything that he wants to do. And he doesn't owe you or me or anyone else an explanation for the way that the world is. He doesn't need to defend himself. And then Paul quoted some words from Exodus. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. His point is that God makes the rules. He calls the shots. He can forgive who he wants to forgive. And so in Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul defines who falls into this category. And he says this in verse 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. And Paul says specifically, then quoting the prophet Isaiah, he says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. That's in verse 11, and also we find it in Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and verse 16. It's never a question of you wanting to be forgiven and God not wanting to forgive you. Or of you asking for mercy and God refusing to give you mercy. The Bible makes it clear here and in other places that whoever comes to Christ will receive pardon and mercy and forgiveness and salvation and restoration. Jesus himself, of course, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the promise of the gospel. This is why Romans doesn't end with chapter 9. Paul wants us to make clear to his readers and to us today, who are still reading the Apostle Paul, that God's grace is available to everyone who asks. And this refers to salvation, it refers to the forgiveness of sins, the deliverance from eternal death, the promise of salvation. Now, it also refers to the dynamics of the Christian life from day to day. You know, you only need to be a Christian about a week before you realize that calling upon the name of the Lord is not a one-time experience. That you need God's mercy more than once in your life. The Christian life is an ongoing day-to-day relationship with the God who created you. And Paul's talking in Romans 10 about initiating this relationship by calling upon the Lord and then maintaining this relationship by calling upon the name of the Lord. And the problem is that many people come to the point in their life where they acknowledge their guilt, they ask God for forgiveness of their sins, and he does all that, of course, and then they say, in effect, you know, thanks, Lord. I'll take it from here. I can do the rest myself. And that's not how the Christian life works. And this evening we're going to look at how the Christian life does work and what it takes to begin a new life in Christ, what it takes to continue a dynamic, life-changing walk with him. And there are three important truths that I want you to keep in mind this evening that will serve you as you grow in your relationship with God. Now, the first truth is the Christian life is a process of getting to know God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Paul's passion for his Jewish brothers and sisters and how his desire to see them come to Christ just tugged at his heart. And it kept him awake all night, is how I phrased that, and made him willing to sacrifice all that he had for them. And it drove him to try again in every effort then to preach the gospel. And Paul continues this theme as he begins chapter 10 here in verse 1, where he says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Now, then Paul begins to address the obstacles that are standing in their way. And these same obstacles stand in our way today. He says in verse 2 then, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. He's saying they are sincere, but their sincerity is wrong. Because they haven't done their homework. They haven't learned the complete truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have relied instead upon their Jewish heritage. Many people make that mistake today. Their spiritual ideas aren't based on what they've learned. They're based on what they've been told. Hey, do you see the difference here? You know, you can't just rely upon what you've been told. You can't just believe what you believe because your parents believed it. Or your church tells you that this is the way that you should believe. At some point, you have to find the truth for yourself. And I went through this, and I continue to go through this. I began to question everything, every facet of the faith, because I wanted to confirm in my heart what I truly believed about Jesus Christ. I didn't want to have zeal without knowledge. And I read, and I asked questions, and I debated, and I nailed it down, and I know what I believe. Now, I respect the beliefs of others, and I'm not so arrogant as to think that I am right about everything all the time, but my convictions are based on what I have endeavored to learn for myself. You must do the same. It's not enough for me or any preacher or any church to tell you what to think. You must think for yourself. See for yourself. Learn for yourself. You need to be zealous for the things of God, but this zeal needs to be based on knowledge. Many people want to create God in their own image. No, they dream up a concept of God that's remarkably similar to themselves. And maybe he's a God of no consequences. Or maybe he's a God of revenge. Or maybe he's a God that's prejudiced. But some people want to decide for themselves what God is like, and that's the God that they're going to believe in. And even worse, sometimes these people have enough of the Bible that they can quote a verse here and there to give the impression that their God is a biblical one. But their zeal is without knowledge. Life is a process of discovering God. He has revealed himself to us through nature, through his word, through history, through Jesus Christ. And he reveals himself to us personally. Life is a process of getting to know him. And this brings me to the second truth that I want you to know this evening. The Christian life is a simple right here, right now process. The Christian life is a simple right here, right now process. The Jewish approach to righteousness with God was that it all rests upon us. It is up to us to earn his good favor through our good works. And repeatedly throughout the book of Romans, Paul says that is impossible. We cannot work our way into the kingdom. But God has given us a new way to righteousness, and we read that in Romans, the 3rd chapter. God has promised to acquit us and to declare us then not guilty if we trust Jesus to take away our sin. And so in chapter 10, Paul says it this way in verse 4. He says, Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Now the point that Paul is emphasizing here is that the Christian life is based on faith, not on works. It's based on God's gift to you, not your accomplishments for God. Christianity is not some distant pie in the sky, sweet by and by type of religion. The Christian life is a relationship for right here and right now. And Paul says it this way in the next verses, verses 8 through 10. He says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from your dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Herein lies the scandal of the gospel. You know, it is easy. Becoming a Christian is not like earning a college degree or making a football team or finding your way to the end of a maze. No, it doesn't take persistence on your part for salvation. It doesn't require special skills. It is a gift of God. Paul says this in Ephesians. He says it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Chapter 3, Romans 3, verse 27, he says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. And here's what I want you to understand. It's easy to be a Christian. Now, the Christian life itself isn't always easy. You'll have challenges and problems and trials and temptations. They're not always easy to endure, no question about that. But the process of becoming a Christian is in itself a simple process. Paul says it as plainly as he can possibly say it in verse 10 here of Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 13 then says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the gospel. This is the word of God. For 2,000 years, there have been those in the church who have tried to complicate the issue, to make entrance into the Christian life more difficult than God intended it to be. They make muddy the pure simplicity of the gospel message by adding qualifications to Paul's words, saying things like, if you sin too much after you accept Christ, then you must not have been sincere when you asked Jesus into your heart. You can't just say believe, you have to really, 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 really believe. As if there's a difference between the third and fourth really. And that difference is the difference for eternal life and eternal death. Don't make Christianity more difficult than God intended it to be. He didn't design the Christian life to be an accomplishment on your part. It's a gift that he wants you to receive. And the hard part is he has already done his part. Because God sent his son Jesus Christ in the world to die for your sins, to pay your debt that you could not pay, to give you what you could not ever earn for yourself. And to receive this gift, all you have to do is ask. That's how you begin the Christian life. And that's how you continue it day after day. It's right here. And it's a right now process. A personal relationship with the God of the universe. This is the way he designed it, and this is the way he wants it. And this brings us to the final truth here this evening, which is the Christian life is a process of learning to listen. That the Christian life is a process of learning to listen. You know, verse 17 here this evening says, consequently, in chapter 10, says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, what does Paul mean by the word of Christ? Three things, I think. First, he's referring to Scripture, the inspired of God, profitable for training in righteousness. When you hear the words of the Bible spoken, when you read them for yourself, your faith is ignited. It should be. You know, I was reading a passage, I was searching for a passage this week. I never found the passage that I was searching for because I got sidetracked reading so many other passages that were speaking to me. And I think that's part of the journey in this. Second, I think he's referring to the preaching of the gospel. I said earlier that you can't believe everything that you hear without thinking for yourself. But with discernment, you learn to hear the word of Christ when the gospel message is preached. And this evening's sermon is not perfect. It is not inspired like Scripture is inspired. But God has spoken, I think, to some of you through the words. It's surprising, week after week, time after time, no sermon is ever preached that does not affect somebody. Sometimes some people, through the years, I've met them and said, well, I didn't get a thing out of today's sermon. And the next person along says, that was the best sermon I ever heard. I wonder what the difference was. But no sermon's ever been preached that somebody didn't get something. So if it isn't you today, it's probably somebody else. Always keep that in mind. Third, I think he's referring to the testimonies the believers share with one another. Every time a friend shares with me a story of answered prayer, my faith is strengthened. Now, we did that earlier this evening. We're talking about some healings that's taking place. I've seen some incredible healings in my life. In fact, as I was thinking about some of this last week, I think, you know, Wally, sometimes I call myself that. Everybody else. Well, that's the nicest name some other people call me, I guess. But I was thinking, you know, you ought to write down some of these stories and put them out there for other people to read, because I have been a part of some of the most incredible healings that people witness. Truly. I mean, just the one I was talking about earlier this evening, but you know, and are the two, actually, the 16-year-old boy who's being healed from an automobile accident, a 43-year-old man who's being healed from the bacteria. A few years ago, the two little children who each had cancer, and, you know, God dealt with each one of them in a different way. The little girl's going to graduate from high school this year. Maybe you didn't realize that. Popular student, cheerleader, came this close to death. That's an incredible story. All these are. And whenever I hear these, last week, remember Dennis, Brother Dennis sat over here and he shared a story. He said the doctors are said he was just doing real good. And he gave the credit to prayer. Every time we share these stories, we hear a testimony. I know testimonies are kind of going out of style in modern day church. People don't give up and get up and talk about them like they used to. But boy, how it encourages our faith and strength. It wants us to get back on our knees and pray some more. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, the testimony of his work in the lives of his people. Living the Christian life then is a process of learning to listen to the word of Christ, scripture, to the preaching of the gospel, to the testimony of other believers. And when we hear that word, our faith is ignited. The goal is to learn to listen when God speaks to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We can summarize the Christian life in one word: relationship. It's not a contest or a competition or a curriculum or completion. It's a relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for your sins. And there's only one way into that relationship: you enter by faith. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, you receive the gift of salvation, or baptized, because all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is how you enter into the Christian life. It's also a way to live every day. It's a life of dependency on the mercy of God rather than a life of dependency on your own wits and your own goodness. This is how the Christian life works. You trust in God's goodness, not in your own. You put your faith in Him, not in yourself. Instead of trying to earn what you can never earn, you receive what only He can give. Do this, and God's promise is this: anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.